Our scripture reading this morning comes out of Deuteronomy, and it's just a touch different than what's in the bulletin. It's actually shorter. If I would have stayed with what I started with, we'd be here till about 12:30. So we're going to, not that that would be a bad thing, we're going to Deuteronomy 32, and we'll read verse 1, and then 15 through 21a, and that's page 294 in your pew Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1, and then 15 through 21a, page 294. Hear the word of God. Let me back up a minute. This is Moses, through the inspiration of God, speaking to the children of Israel and really giving them a warning. This is really near, you know, it's almost the end of the book of Deuteronomy. And it's one of the last things he addresses the children of Israel with. Moses speaking, "Listen, you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, you earth, the words of my mouth." And then he speaks on behalf of God. Verse 15, says Jeshurun, and that's also Israel. That's just a different name for Israel. Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. Filled with food, they became heavy and sleek. They abandoned the God who made them and rejected the rock, their Savior. They made him jealous with their foreign gods and angered him with their detestable idols. They sacrificed to false gods which are not God, gods they had not known, gods that recently appeared, gods your ancestors did not fear. You deserted the rock who fathered you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. The Lord saw this and rejected them because he was angered by his sons and daughters. I'll hide my face from them, he said, and see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children who are unfaithful. They made me jealous by what is no God and angered me with their worthless idols. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. Dear congregation, on this July 4th weekend, we opened the service by a singing, "America, America, God shed his grace on thee." We sang about America, a thoroughfare for freedom. We asked God to mend our every flaw and confirm our soul in self-control and preserve liberty in law. The song was published in a magazine called The Congregationalist back in July 4th, 1895. It was composed by Catherine Lee Bates on top of Pike's Peak. She was doing a trip. They actually got as far as they could with mules and then walked the rest of the way. And she said the vista before her was so overwhelming that these words welled up within her. America. A nation with a unique beginning, unlike any other on earth. What is clearly visible is the hand of God guiding the foundation and development of the United States of America. Our Declaration of Independence acknowledges a dependence on a higher power, a supreme being. And in our Pledge of Allegiance, we profess to be one nation under God. But what's happening to our nation? It's more polarized and fragmented than it has ever been. And we can blame the culture, but we also are the culture. We are society. And what about the church? The church is called to be the conscience of a nation. And the truth is, in America, the church is very weak, mainly because she has abandoned the authority of Scripture. The power is always in God's Word. If you dilute or pollute God's Word, you're left with nothing. When that is distorted and diluted, it loses its significance. We no longer hear or respond to statements like, "Thus saith the Lord," Yeah, we have been heavy on God's love, and that's accurate. God is a loving God. We have been very light, basically vague, about his justice and truth. And when that happens, we are no longer serving the God or acknowledging the God known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who sent his only son into this world to die for our sins and who says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll obey what I teach. We have created our own gods, more commonly known as idols, but not a word that we use in everyday language. We have bought Satan's lie from the Garden of Eden. It says, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you yourself will be godlike. And elsewhere in Scripture, it says, if you sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. We are reaping what we have sowed. America has become a nation with many gods. Gods of foreign nations, gods of foreign religions. We've welcomed three main pagan gods from the Old Testament. I know that many times when we read the Old Testament, we read about the gods, we feel kind of smug because that belonged to a real primitive culture. We're much more sophisticated and educated to have them influence people like us. And there's nothing the great deceiver likes more than that we put our guard down, don't pay attention to what is happening, and compromise with the wickedness that defies a holy God. We must never forget our God is a holy God. Some of what I'm sharing with you this morning comes from a book by Jonathan Kahn. Some of you may have read it. Jonathan Kahn is a Jewish man who became a believer, a messianic Jew, we would call him. The title of the book is Return of the Gods. It's in our library. It's worth reading. It's a chilling read because it's really hard to dispute what it describes. In the Scriptures, God warns his people continually not to worship other gods. It's the opening of the Ten Commandments. I'm going to read part of it right now. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. That's right there, number one. You shall not make for yourself an image of the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. And then he says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. And you shall not covet. But that opening line, no other gods. And God emphasizes that over and over. Deuteronomy 8, 19 and 20, this is what he says to the children of Israel. But this is a message to all believers. He says, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today, you will be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you'll be destroyed. For what reason? For not obeying the Lord your God. Today, three Old Testament gods known as the Dark Trinity are working in our nation to dominate our culture, infect our children, and to destroy us. Make no mistake, that's the agenda. gods that make the church weak and the nation weak. The first god we're going to look at is Baal. In the Old Testament, Baal was referred to as the god of gods, with pagan gods. He was a god of fertility and strength, a warrior god. And 1 Kings 17, verse 15, has this to say. The prophet speaking. The people of Israel rejected Jehovah God's decrees and the covenant he made with their ancestors and the statutes he had warned them to keep. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. This is not complimentary. They imitated the nations around them, though the Lord had ordered them, do not do as they do. End of reading. We sometimes hear, and people aren't sure if this is totally accurate or not, but we sometimes hear that Nero fiddled as Rome burned. We may not be fiddlers, but we are amusing ourselves to death as pagan gods and their henchmen focus on our nation. Look at the indoctrination, content, and agendas that take place in our schools, in sports, in politics, in television, in the movies, the magazines, the internet. And much of this is all available on our smartphones, so many young kids are also totally influenced by it. Our nation has had a systematic program removing God from the public square. The late Supreme Court Judge Scalia wrote, "The Supreme Court has done more to destroy this nation than any other branch of government." And he sat on the Supreme Court. Examples he cited were the prayer, taking prayer out of the public schools, removing Ten Commandments, must not include any Bible stories in literature. This is even happening in the higher education in places like Harvard. And the pagan gods found a huge vacuum. Yes, Baal undermines spirituality, morality, politics, and culture. And if you doubt what I'm saying, in your own time, read the last chapters of 1 Kings, and you will see what was happening in the land of Israel when Ahab and Jezebel were ruling, and Baal was their god. Now, the American dream has also become a cult of greed and affluence. That too is worshiping Baal. I find it really interesting that Baal is a bull, and on Wall Street, he has his own statue. It's really our version of a golden calf. And 2 Kings 15, verse 16 says this, "If God's people, when they forsook all the commands of the Lord their God and made for themselves idols cast in the shapes of calves and Asherah poles, they bowed down to all the starry hosts and they worshiped Baal." The reality is that all of us worship something or someone. And who my God is determines how I live. Now the pagan gods, now don't forget, they're always influenced by the great deceiver. The pagan gods promise freedom and fulfillment if people would only abandon that restrictive God of the Bible. They promise freedom and fulfillment. We end up enslaved and in bondage. We live with more chaos than freedom, enticed with sexual gratification that has no limits and can be further enhanced with drugs. And then all the popularity on the social media that is just destroying a whole generation, but maybe not even limited to different ages. It's Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat. And in some ways, everybody thinks they have their own little domain. They become their own little gods. And then we can get quick rich through gambling or creating our own fulfillment with self-obsession, choosing our own identity, which brings us to being driven, restless, conflicted, mutilated, lonely, searching, obsessed, addicted, depressed, and suicidal. That's what Baal has to offer us. The second god of the dark trinity is Ishtar. Ishtar, or Ashtoreth, she's known as the Enchantress, the Queen of Heaven. She already lived back in Mesopotamia, the Babylonian times. She was known as the goddess who lives in taverns. She promotes the drug culture. She's a radical militant and a feminist. She is the goddess of sexuality, and this is interesting, and war and destruction. See, the Ashtoreth poles in the high places in the Old Testament belonged to her. They're still around today. Baal and Ishtar are key players in the sexual revolution that we're experiencing. This is the spiritual warfare Paul talks about in Ephesians 6. These gods tell us that there is pleasure in sin, and we better indulge because we deserve to be happy. What's really happened? We have become a very crude civilization. Think about the language you just hear on everyday television. The language that people use. Think about how things have degenerated in the last 50 years. And at first we are shocked. Then we kind of get numb to it. Then it becomes familiar. Then we tolerate it. Then it becomes acceptable. And then it becomes celebrated. But it doesn't change one thing. It's still sin. Not a word we use a lot. The sexual revolution opposes everything that God established. Things such as sex within the bonds of marriage, raising a family with a father and mother in the home. That really is a necessity for a strong civilization and a strong society. When you look around you, you can see that the pagan values are destroying the family and with it, our nation. What's interesting about this goddess Ishtar is she's also a transformer. When Solomon wrote that there's nothing new under the sun, he was absolutely right. What does that mean that she was a transformer? Well, she created her own identity. Most of the time, she was a female. But sometimes she identified as a male and a warrior. She had what you called a fluid identity, a word that is also common today. The end goal in the sexual revolution is no boundaries. You are who you identify as, and drugs and surgery will help you get there. The ancient world already had the surgery. They were just not real adept at reconstructive surgery. Ishtar was known as the emasculator. One of the things that she preached, that she was militant about, was that masculinity is toxic and it must go. Either emasculate men or feminize them. And in the process, destroying families and society. Drag queens were once the priestess in Ishtar's temple. Today, they're invading our libraries so that the next generation will worship at their shrines. Guess what Ishtar's flag was? Her banner of war was the rainbow flag, now depicting gay pride. And isn't it interesting that at one time, June was Bride's Month. It's now become Gay Pride Month. In June 26, 2015, our Supreme Court in the Obergefell versus Hodges made a ruling, and counterfeit marriage became legal in the United States. That ruling affects our laws, our education system, commerce, and religious freedom, our entire American culture. The night of that ruling, the rainbow flag was displayed with pride on the Empire State Building, on Niagara Falls, on the Castle of Disney World, and the White House. That highlighting demonstrated the impact of this on commerce, on nature, on entertainment, and government. Don't think that that wasn't thought out where that was going to be highlighted. See, a major sign of defiance towards the God of creation, who in the beginning created them male and female and set up marriage between a man and a woman. One more member of the Dark Trinity, Molech. Molech is an abomination. Molech was the god of fire and sacrifice. And you know, already in Leviticus, when the Israelites are still in the wilderness, Leviticus 18, God warns them, don't give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. This was the sacrifice of humans, especially children by their parents. Children have become disposable. And we're moving towards that in a couple of other areas as well. Elderly, the handicapped, the mentally ill, and the developmentally disabled. Many nations, when they lost any Christian roots, went to killing children. Russia with the Bolshevik Revolution, Nazi Germany. For the Romans and the Greeks, children were always disposable. And with the U.S. Supreme Court decision in 1973, Roe v. Wade, it happened in our nation. But when you see and hear all the pushback to Roe v. Wade being overturned and how big a political issue abortion continues to be in our land, it seems obvious that many people want to continue worshiping the god Molech. Molech is a deceiver. The sacrifice of babies for the greater good. In America's Valley of Hinnom, that's where much of this took place with Israel, America's Valley of Hinnom is Planned Parenthood. Our nation is being transitioned. Yes, we started out one nation under God, now a nation under many gods, pagan gods. But the rainbow still belongs to God. It's a sign of His mercy. It surrounds His throne. But we have to wake up and be aware of that we are in spiritual warfare. And make no mistake, the goal is to drive Christianity out of the mainstream culture. Don't ever think that isn't true. We either have a choice to comply or be silent. But they don't want your voice in the public square. The attack of the pagan gods is most intense on our youngest, our children. Remember, Baal is a warrior, Ishtar a transformer, the goddess of perverted sexuality, Molech a murderer. As a nation, we are becoming a pagan culture, shaking its fist at the God of the heavens. And Christians are often depicted as intolerant hate mongers. And God's word is considered hate speech to the culture. Upholding it will lead to criminal charges, as we have already seen with, if you followed any of these cases, Jack Phillips, the baker in Colorado, Stutzman was the woman, the florist in Washington State. I can give you a whole list. One of the organizations, law firms, that defends a lot of these people is called Alliance Defending Freedom. Our own government has branded them as a domestic terrorist threat because they hold up Judeo-Christian ideology. Matter of fact, in collusion with the government, some big banks were keeping them under surveillance to see what they were doing financially. That's big trouble in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Always remember, the pagan gods want sacrifice. Our God is the sacrifice. Jesus is the only antidote if America's going to survive. I know that's a hard concept for many people to think that maybe America can't survive. God sets up nations and he takes them down, and there is no reason that he owes us a long life when we despise him in the way that we are. That's just the reality of where we're living, and we either have to admit what's really happening or keep our head in the sand. But that doesn't change what's happening in our nation. As Christ followers, we cannot sit on the sidelines, wring our hands, and then call ourselves faithful followers of the one who's being mocked. We need to have courage. We need to have boldness and speak up and engage the culture. And where we are today, the church has much to blame for this. One, she has been silent, and two, she has not been faithful to the Word of God. The church, if you've listened to some of all the denominations, I shouldn't say all, many, if you've looked at and listened to any of the reports from their synodical meetings, they use different terms, the goal is to compromise with pagan gods, and then we wonder why the church is so weak. My prayer is that God will convict us, strengthen us, to have courage and boldness as the battle rages, and this battle will heat up until Jesus returns. We must never bow down to the gods around us. And take courage. The kingdom of the pagan gods is a false kingdom. Their authority is illegitimate. Their days are numbered. We can stand strong, but only in the power of God, which means we need to spend time in the Word. We need to spend time in the Word and look at Ephesians 6, where Paul already warns the people of that day, the people living in Ephesus. You need to put on the whole armor of God, or you're not going to make it. And that's true for every one of us. If we don't put on the whole armor of God, we're not going to make it. So are you willing to engage in the battle? Are you? That's a big question. It might have eternal consequences. Are you willing to engage in the battle? And short term, for the benefit of our nation. Long term, for the benefit of your soul. Are you willing to engage? Will we be able to sing in a few minutes that our hearts have been humbled and that we've become before God with confession, and later to sing, "With God we're marching on"? You think about that. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We have much to thank you for, but we have to be realistic. And when we read the Old Testament scriptures, and when the people so blatantly worshiped other gods, Their nation was either destroyed, the 10 tribes are taken into captivity, the southern kingdom. Father, to that end, we pray for America. Because if you withhold your lampstand from us, we too will be destroyed. Help us to see the urgency of the times that we're living in. And Father, become real in our hearts in such a way that we will be useful soldiers in the army of God. If there's anything I said that wasn't true, wasn't beneficial, would you delete that from our hearts? And for the rest of the message, would you burn it onto our hearts so that we are faithful children of the only true God? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.